Honduran President Manuel Zelaya was ousted in a military coup and taken to Costa Rica early Sunday morning. His ouster took place on the day of a planned referendum on constitutional reforms, which was opposed by the Honduran Congress. Roberto Micheletti, the head of the Congressional Assembly and second in line to the presidency, has taken over as acting president. He claims that it was not a coup d'etat, rather that he had reached the presidency, quote, as a result of an absolutely legal transition process. Manuel Zelaya met with other Latin American leaders, including Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, in a joint emergency meeting in Nicaragua yesterday, where they condemned the act and warned against a, quote, return to the past. Cuba has also condemned the coup. Here is Cuban Foreign Minister Bruno Rodriguez.
There has been a brutal coup d'etat, and the international community and international organizations should not tolerate it. The era of military dictatorships in Latin America is over. There are no more left. I'm convinced that the immediate mobilization of international public opinion, of international organizations, and in particular the Honduran people, will prevent this coup succeeding and will return to power the constitutional and legitimate president of Honduras, Manuel Zelaya.
The Organization of American States has also planned a meeting at its headquarters in Washington, D.C., with the OAS Secretary General issuing a statement calling on the international community to join forces against this grave disturbance of the democratic process. U.S. President Barack Obama has expressed deep concern and urged a peaceful resolution without outside interference. The Interpress Service is reporting that there has been an electricity and internet blackout throughout the Honduran capital, Tegucigalpa, since yesterday, with military planes and helicopters circling overhead. There is also a general media blackout in the country, with only music being played by the few operating radio stations. Still, protesters have reportedly gathered on the streets demanding to know what has happened to their president. Police have used tear gas to disperse the crowds. Joining me right now from Washington, D.C. is Larry Burns. He's the director of the Council on Hemispheric Affairs. Welcome to Uprising, Larry. Also with us is James Saget. He is a reporter for VenezuelaAnalysis.com, joining us live from Venezuela. Welcome to Uprising, James.
Thank you.
Larry, let me start with you. What do you understand about what has happened so far, aside from what I announced? The acting president has said that this was a perfectly legal process because the Congress has disapproved of the constitutional changes that the President Zelaya was planning.
I think that's a bit far-fetched. It's not perfectly clear. In fact, it's extremely unclear.
Can you actually speak up, Larry? We're having trouble hearing you.
Do you hear me now?
Yeah, you're just going to have to speak as loud as you can.
Okay. We've been following the coup progression, and we have some thoughts about this. This is an extra-legal procedure. The Honduran Constitution is not clear on this point. There's a great deal of debate, but one of the certitudes is it's far from being clear. Aside from far from being clear, it comes at a very inopportune time.
Actually, Larry, we're going to have to call you back. We're having trouble hearing you, so I'm going to turn to James Saget in the meantime. James, can you tell us what the reaction in Venezuela has been? I announced what Chavez, the president, has said, but what about Venezuelan media?
I start with the Venezuelan people, perhaps, or I guess I can combine that with the media. Venezuelans really feel like they have a similar history with the Hondurans in this case. A lot of Venezuelans are saying this is just exactly what happened in Venezuela in April 2002. There was a coup that disguised itself as a legal democratic process, and now, the difference in this case is that there has been massive coverage of the details of what's going on in Honduras. I'm not saying everything is perfectly clear, but a lot more than in Venezuela. You know, the opposition really was able to shut down all the media or most of the media in Venezuela, and people were just totally cut off unless they had access, to Internet or to the coup leaders, of course. And But in Honduras, you know, Venezuelans have just been glued, as far as I've seen, they've been glued to their televisions watching Telesur, which is the Caracas-based television channel. And it's been broadcasting, you know, a lot of the different events that are going on. And Venezuelans don't buy this whole thing about this being a democratic, you know, transition against a president who broke the law and everything. I mean, people are pretty clear here that that it's not true. that's not how these things work. This has happened many times in Latin American history, and they're angry. And while there have been also demonstrations in a lot of the central plazas around major cities, including Caracas, Valencia, Maracaibo, Mérida, people go to the plazas, and a lot of times it's anger, it's to protest, and other times it's just, I mean, I've spoken to some people who just said they wanted to be with other, you know, other people who had experienced this. You know, they experienced a coup here. It was backed by the United States. Honduras is going through the same thing, and they, you know, there's a large suspicion that this is also in some way backed by the United States, even if the top officials of the Obama administration at this time don't know or don't acknowledge it.
I want to turn back to Larry Burns to discuss what has just happened in Honduras, essentially the first military overthrow in Central America since the end of the Cold War. Larry, James was just drawing a comparison between what happened in Venezuela in 2002 and what we're seeing unfolding in Honduras. And you were in the middle of an analysis when we had to change phones. Can you pick up where you left off?
Well, what we have here is a situation that is quite confused. The confusion comes about from the fact that President Zelaya was not a particularly popular figure in the country. At the same time, it is equally clear that the opposition has resorted to extra-constitutional means to sort of oust him. What was taking place in Honduras was a broadening and deepening of a political process from which Honduras had been largely exempt over the years. That is, a high level of consensualization of their political understanding. The country is now has become more and more engrossed in its own history, and conceivably, if Zelaya is reinstalled in some way, there could be a different kind of outturn that has been happening up to this point.
Now, there was supposed to be a referendum happening yesterday. You know, wouldn't it have been to the, if the opposition, if the right-wing opposition that has ousted him was interested in democracy, they could have let the referendum take its course, run its course, and see what the people wanted. Is that correct, Larry?
Yes, it could have gone that way. But there was the opposition's position was that that Zelaya's actions were illegal or extra-constitutional, and that there had to be some kind of response to this, that the election that he was staging was not a bona fide event. And clear here is that there were very few heroes on either side, and the opposition really looked for an opportunity to, even though Honduras is a country that has not witnessed violence and has not has been just a kind of low-grade corrupt society with very few heroes involved. What happened was that there was a growing disinclination to abide by the rules of the game, and Zelaya asked for more than the opposition was prepared to give, and they saw this as an opportunity to first marginalize him and then eliminate him.
I want to announce, by the way, there are two actions taking place this morning at 10 o'clock. There's going to be a press conference in MacArthur Park on the corner of Parkview Street and 6th Street in L.A. On the issue of the coup in Honduras. And then there will be a protest against the coup at the Honduran consulate at 11 a.m. this morning. That's at 3350 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, near the corner of Wilshire and Normandy. Again, a press conference in MacArthur Park at 10 a.m. and then a protest at the Honduran consulate at 11 a.m. this morning, 3350 Wilshire Boulevard. I want to turn back to James Saget. You're a reporter for VenezuelaAnalysis.com. I want you to comment on the reaction of the Latin American leaders, how they have come together pretty fast, it seems. There seems to be quite a bit of solidarity for Manuel Zelaya. Honduras was part of the alternative grouping of Latin American states called ALBA, the Bolivarian Alternative of the Americas, and it seems as though that alliance is bearing fruit. What do you make of the response from other Latin American leaders?
Well, certainly, I think all of the different Latin American integration organizations have been very empowered over the last 10 years as more and more presidents, more and more leaders have come to power who assert the sovereignty of Latin American nations. So they have been remarkably quick to condemn the coup, first of all, to call it a coup, as opposed to using the language of the coup plotters, which is that it's, you know, a democratic transition and things. They call it a coup, and they condemn it. That includes the Organization of the American States, and also ALBA, which is the Bolivarian Alternative for the Americas. It is a new integration organization based on cooperation and mutual benefit, and is meant as an alternative to the U.S.-backed free trade agreements, which usually benefit U.S. corporations and profits being hoarded into the United States. And so not only the more left-leaning organization, the ALBA, but also the Organization of American States, are pretty much unanimous in condemning the coup. I think that's really impressive, and it shows a lot about how the region is coming together, not around necessarily an ideology. You know, Zelaya was not particularly an ideologue on any side of the political spectrum, but around democratic principles and against foreign intervention.
What do you make of the reports that we're hearing that President Chavez has threatened military action? All I have seen in the American press is that he has warned that if the Venezuelan ambassador to Honduras was harmed, that he would take military response. But there have been other reports as well. What do you know?
I think that those are generally either exaggerations or somewhat manipulations of what was meant by the comments. I think that the ALBA statement, the Venezuela-led ALBA statement, said something like, "We will mobilize, against the coup and things like that." I don't think that President Chavez has actually drawn up any plans to, you know, militarily intervene in the way that is most common in Latin America, which is when the United States, with allies such as the former governments of Honduras and Costa Rica and things, you know, directly militarily intervening. It's nothing like that. And I think a lot of times those comments, trying to accuse, you know, the Latin American leaders of intervening in each other's affairs, they're sort of twisted, because no one is really emphasizing the fact that the U.S. has a gigantic military base in Honduras and has a history of backing dictatorships there and completely intervening, and that, in fact, a lot of these coup leaders are the people that the U.S. trained in the School of the Americas, military training school in Georgia. So
that's a really good point. And I want to, in fact, focus on that history a little bit with my other guest, Larry Burns. I've been speaking with James Saget, a reporter for VenezuelaAnalysis.com, joining us live from Venezuela to talk about the military coup that just took place in Honduras yesterday. Larry Burns is the director of the Council on Hemispheric Affairs, joining us from Washington, D.C. Larry, as James said, there is a history here, not only in Honduras itself, but throughout Latin America and even past the April 2000. 2002 coup in Venezuela, there is a deeper history that many are fearing is now going to be repeated after 8 years of the U.S. perhaps looking towards the Middle East, that now, because of the rise in leftist leadership in Latin America, that American elites are not going to take it any longer. Can you fill us first in a little bit on that history and whether what information you have that there is American influence happening here?
Well, let me take the latter hunk of that. I think what we have here is that the administration, the Obama administration, has conducted itself in a rather cautious but thoroughly correct manner.
Correct.
Correct, mm-hmm. Not corrupt. And there's been a support for the existing government and for the democratic process. Washington was rather quick to come forth with that position. And I see no reason why we can't believe that. The Obama administration clearly is looking for a new kind of Latin American policy. It's been very cautious in doing this, but it's been quite civil and correct when it's come to its relations with Hugo Chavez and other pivotal figures in the region. Also, of course, we have a kind of universality in the denouncement of the coup effort, because we also have the EU, the OAS, and the United States. It strikes me as a pretty formidable lineup of counterpuntal forces here, which is going to make it very difficult for the coupmeisters to maintain their position. I think what we might have here is some kind of compromise solution where President Zelaya announces that he's just going to finish out this first term, because this whole business began over Zelaya's desire to revise the Constitution in order for him to run for re-election, and the opposition, who had been relatively silent on these issues, decided that they couldn't bear having Zelaya in office for another term. It's not that Zelaya was particularly militant in his left-leaning statements.
And he's only been in power since 2006.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. But there is an election that is supposed to take place in November, and the new president would be taking office in January.
So is it that current Honduran presidential term limits only allow for a president to serve one term?
Yes. Right now, although the Honduran constitution is far from clear on that, Honduras is one of those countries where it's a one-term kind of ceiling. And this would represent a modification of the Constitution. Now, Zelaya is not a particularly admirable figure, and in a sense, the more liberal elements in Latin America are thrown together with a person who is far from perfect, but any victory for the right wing in Honduras would be lamentable, because it would set the institutional maturation of that country back a number of years. Honduras has never been created a vicious society, military governments that are extremely draconic, like took place in El Salvador and Guatemala. That is, but what is alarming would be if a trend is started here, where you would have governments installed that were not really replicating the attitudes and wishes of its own population.
It's amazing, Larry, to see the media coverage here in the United States. The Wall Street Journal has an op-ed this morning that has condemned the president, Manuel Zelaya, for, quote, abusing the nation's constitution, and also talking about the putting him in the same category as Fidel Castro, saying that Mr. Zelaya acted as though he were above the law and essentially calling those who have ousted him patriots. So it seems as though we're not getting the full picture here.
Right.
The British press seems more balanced.
The Wall Street Journal is not famous for moderate statements, particularly on Latin America. It has one of the most extremist columnists. Ms. O'Grady, I think her name is.
That's the one who's written the op-ed I was quoting, Mary Anastasia O'Grady.
She is a person of a very, very extreme right-wing person who doesn't really add much to the discussion. The problem that we have in the region is whether it can liberalize its institutions fast enough in order to maintain a gravitational pull on the electorate. If you don't supply the electorate with improvements in their living standards and so forth, they're going to abandon you. And so what's at stake here in Central America are what kind of political process is going to be followed. Is it going to be one that is nominally democratic, but in actuality maintains a status quo which is prejudicial to the desiderata of the population, or whether you're going to have a society that's open, that you can move in that society and improve your station. People are becoming increasingly literate in terms of what is required for their own political satisfaction, and you're not going to get away with feeding the public with a type of bromides that are not really meant to improve their standard of living.
I want to turn finally back to James Saget in Venezuela. It has been just barely 24 hours since the coup happened in Honduras yesterday, and Larry Burns was just outlining some major differences between the kind of leader Zelaya is compared to Chavez. And I'm wondering if you agree with that characterization, and also if you think in terms of what will happen next in Venezuela. It took a lot of street action, a tremendous amount of popular support for Chavez to bring him back into power. Wondering if you think that the same kind of thing may happen in Honduras or may not, because he's not as popular.
Right. I do agree that there are significant differences between Zelaya and Chavez, just like between Chavez and Evo Morales and Michelle Bachelet and all the other different leaders of the region. I think that each leader has different characteristics based on their country's experience. But there is something very common among a lot of them, including Zelaya and Chavez, who had come together in the ALBA integration bloc, which was that they did assert the rights of the people who had been formerly excluded from, in this case, mostly economic development and also political development and political processes. And so they have some common principles that they come together on. And another one is between nations, they support the principle of solidarity as opposed to, say, competition, rivalry, or invasion, intervention, and things like that. So whether or not what happened in Venezuela is going to happen in Honduras, it's just so hard to tell right now. I have the feeling that a lot of Honduran people are feeling very scared. And perhaps there's a lot more fear to maybe come out in the streets and protest because, it's not clear whether or not the coup leaders are just going to openly repress in a very brutal way people.
And the role of the army is different here than it was in Venezuela, too, which was a critical factor.
When Chavez was kidnapped, there was a section of the army that, a large section actually, that backed him, and they were instrumental in retaking the presidential palace. And in this case, I just don't know what the inside, workings are. Until midday yesterday, there was a community radio station in Honduras that was still transmitting by internet what was going on the ground, and they were reporting a lot of repressive practices in the streets by the army. And then just maybe a half an hour later, I clicked back onto that site to listen again, and it was talking very badly of Zelaya again.
My
roommates and I realized that it had been taken over by the coup leaders, and it had been put at the service of the coup then. And so, you know, we really don't know what's going to happen, but I certainly hope that the people feel empowered enough to take control of their country.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, but we're definitely going to be monitoring this situation as it develops, and KPFK programmers will as well. I want to thank James Saget and Larry Burns very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
James Saget is a reporter for VenezuelaAnalysis.com. Larry Burns is director of the Council on Hemispheric Affairs. And the demonstration that I mentioned earlier is happening at 11 a.m. this morning. It's a protest at the Honduran consulate against the coup at 3350 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. There'll be a press conference at 10 a.m. in MacArthur Park.